This chap got in touch with me the back end of last week, and he says to me, please do not give my name out on the air, but feel free to read this out. Maybe by doing so, I may get the help that I need. Now, for obvious reasons, I won't give out his details, but he says, I'm writing today because I want to be honest, but I'm not looking for attention or sympathy. Here's the story. I'm a separated parent in my 30s with kids. I worked hard all my life, but over time, I lost something in myself. I started turning to cocaine and drinking just to feel something, to escape, or to get through the emptiness of it all. Separated parent, 30s with kids. Now I'm carrying the shame of that every day, as in the cocaine and the drinking. I'm in debt. It's not completely out of control, but it's enough to keep me trapped in the same cycle week after week. I work, I keep going, I try to function, but inside I'm struggling badly. I shut people out, including my family and the life I helped to build. The truth is, I'm disgusted with myself, and I know what I'm doing is wrong and harmful, but I still do it. That's the part people don't always understand about addiction. You can hate it, you can hate yourself, and still be stuck in it. The reason I'm reaching out today, Friday, March 20th, that's when I received it. For the first time in 2 weeks, I left the house for help. For the first time in 2 weeks, I left the house to ask for help. That was a huge step for me. I went to my doctor looking for support with personal issues and addiction. But because I couldn't pay that day, I was refused care. I was told no pay, no help. I just feel so let down about that. When someone is already ashamed, already low, already fighting themselves just to walk through the door, being turned away can push them even further down. I know I have responsibility for where I am. I'm not blaming anyone else for my addiction, but I do think there is something badly wrong when a person finally asks for help and money and becomes the reason that they don't get it in the first place. I'm sharing this because I believe there are many people living quietly like me, struggling like this, working, parenting, surviving, and falling apart at the same time. People who look normal from the outside but are battling addiction, debt, shame, and loneliness behind closed doors. Maybe this is something worth talking about on air, Neil, what addiction really looks like. So why, ask why so many people hide it, and what happens when someone finally asks for help and can't get it. I need a doctor, someone who can help. Please be aware, I don't want my name mentioned, etc. But thank you for your time. Now, I find that bewildering. If you went to a doctor, and maybe, you know, you have a GP, and you could well have a GP for years in your life, your GP, your family GP. Or was it just you went into a doctor that you didn't know, approached the reception, asked to see the doctor, and they asked you to pay, and you said, I have no money. That's why that possibly happened. I can't imagine that if it was your GP that you had been seeing for years and years and years, or as a family GP, would ever do something like that if you couldn't pay. But maybe we live in different times now. So I'm wondering, was it a random doctor? It doesn't make it right, though, because under the Hippocratic Oath, you would think that a doctor would see you even if you couldn't pay. I hear doctors roaring at me now. We have a business to run and staff to pay and a surgery to keep going. We can't be seeing people for free. But, you know, it's interesting because I had wanted to catch up with Jack O'Connell about his own situation and his own struggles in life. And thank God he's in a much better place. But I sent him on the email to have a look at it as well. And he joins me this morning. Jack, good morning.
Neil, good morning.
How are you, my brother?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I'm good, man. Did you have a look at that for me?
I did indeed, Neil. I did indeed. And you know what? It was disappointing. It was very disappointing to read it, you know. And this poor man, like, you know, it's a huge step to take admitting you have a problem, you know. And after reading that, it was just, it was hard to read, Neil, to be fair. But, like, I just think it's, like, it's a bigger issue, you know, in terms of the funding and stuff, like, you know. It's, like, where's the government's money going, like, you know? It's, like, why can't this man get help, like?
He's looking for it. Is there a way of getting it without having to go to a GP, for instance?
Absolutely. So what I would give him advice-wise now, Neil, would I would say the meetings of AA and NA around, I don't know, he's from Cork, I'm presuming. Like, I would be going straight away today and getting into the meetings if I was him. And secondly, from my own experience from being in the nuns in Blarney, like, I didn't have to pay anything to be in the nuns, you know, so my recovery was free. Like, I didn't have to pay anything to go to rehab or pay any doctors or pay anything like that. And I'm 18 months sober now, you know, so it is possible. But the only problem, Neil, is like, it's just like the availability. Like, you know, it's like there's only 15 beds out in the Nuns. But look, I would be suggesting to that man to get into a meeting today, either of AA or NA, and just start today. Do you
You
know?
don't have
Because
to be you don't have to be clean or sober to go to AA. You just have to
no,
start.
no, you just have to start. You have to be willing to start and just, you know what I mean? Just admit that you have a problem. And he's already after admitting that to his doctor. And that's a huge step for anybody, you know. And reading the email you sent me, it was hard to read, you know, in the situation he's in. And do you know what? I commend him as well, Neil, because he hasn't hit rock bottom yet. And for him to, you know, say that he's not fully there in terms of rock bottom, but still admitting he has a problem
How do
is
you
a huge
how do you
thing.
know that? I mean, what's gotta happen before he hits rock bottom?
Well, just reading the email in particular, he was just saying that like he's not fully there in terms of like, you know, he hasn't lost everything, he hasn't lost his kids, he hasn't lost, you know, the like I
So he's
actually
got to
think the
lose his
term
kids, he's got to lose his job, he's got to lose his house, he's got to lose his friends, he's got to run up debt. Is that all that to come?
Well, you know, it doesn't have to come to that. So that's what I'm kind of saying, Neil, is like fair play to him for recognizing it before it comes to that, because it takes some people like have to lose everything before they start getting their stuff together, you know what I mean? Whereas for him to say, right, I can see where this is going now, but I want to get out in front of it, that I commend him for that, like, and huge respect for that, because you know that it's a huge step to take, especially when you have kids, like, you know.
There's a few words in this email that jumped off the page. One of them is disgusted. Another one is hate. Another one is shame. Another one is loneliness. It's very dark, isn't it?
Absolutely, it's dark. It's dark, but it's the reality of it, Neil. You know, it is. It is the reality of it, and especially that shame word. You know, and it just that whole feeling around it. It's a very kind of. It's a shameful thing to admit. Like, as you know, as a man, like who has kids and who, you know, who has a career and stuff like that. I can imagine for him, it was tough to come to that conclusion and say, I need to get help. And then for him to be turned away, like, I just think it's an absolute disgrace, you know. And I'm not blaming the doctors, or I'm not blaming, like, that just comes straight down to funding. And like, where's the government's like funding coming in this? Like, because there's people die, like, Neil, I'm walking over people, my own people in the streets of Cork City every day. Do you know, fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, these people did not wake up and want to be a drug addict. These people did not wake up and want to be homeless. But where's the funding? Where is the urgency? Like,
So, are you telling me that you see people now that are homeless in a very helpless state, and you knew them when they weren't?
absolutely. Like a woman, actually, I was walking through the streets there at Cork City the other day, Neil. I was walking down Oliver Plunkett Street. And a woman called me over. I knew her from a few years ago, but she's in a bad way now. And she just said she's watching my videos all the time, and she was in a bad way. She had the cup out, tapping for money. And we had a great chat, and she said she's trying to get the help, but she just can't. Like, there's no. Again, it comes down to what this man was saying. Like, she has no way of funding anything. And I just gave her the same advice I'm giving this man. Like, get into a meeting. You'll meet people in meetings who have connections, who have networks, and you'd be surprised what happens when you take that first step. But it just, you know, it's heartbreaking, Neil, you know, because there's people all over the city dying, and it's a complete, there has to be more urgency about it. Like, it's a crisis, like.
So when you talk about those on the street, are we talking about heroin, crack cocaine, prescription medication, things like that?
Yeah, I'd
Crystal
imagine it'd
meth?
be the whole lot, you know. It would be the whole lot, like, you know. In particular, the heroin and crack, like, has the city destroyed, like. But it's just sad, Neil, you know, when the government can pump millions across the water but then can't look after our own, you know.
But
It's
I can't disagree with you on any of the things you're saying. But cocaine's come a huge problem now, hasn't it?
absolutely,
Because people think,
absolutely.
okay, this is something at the weekend, a few lines, just part of the whole social thing. But for many people, they get trapped, don't they? And it can lead to all sorts of problems. And just talking about cocaine alone, we don't talk about it as much as we do about heroin, but we should be talking about it, shouldn't we?
Absolutely, Neil. And you know what? It's after becoming the new drink. It's the new alcohol. Like, you can't go out. Like, I don't be going out on nights out anymore since I'm in recovery. But like, you can't go out into Cork City, into a nightclub or into a bar. Most people are taking coke, like, with drink, you know. It's become completely normalised and acceptable, you know, and it shouldn't be, because it's a very slippery slope, and it's a very dangerous drug. Like, it nearly took my life in many instances, like. And what I would say
In what way? I mean, what are you talking about? Taking too much of it, or trouble that you got into, or what?
It's kind of, yeah, like, the problem with it is, like, you become, as you said, like, you know, it starts out with a few lines and it's all fun and games, but, like, the end of the day, then, like, you have to go home and you have to deal with what's going on in your own mind, and that's where the challenge starts. And I feel like, for myself personally, Neil, is, like, when it goes from having a few lines with your buddies out on the weekend to you being at home, you know, sniffing lines by yourself in the dark, but, you know, that becomes a very slippery slope, and from there onwards, then I think that's where my own addiction started, when I started taking it by myself. But that's where it does go, like, for a lot of people, because a lot of people have issues in their lives, you know, stresses that are going on, and that's their escape. And then the further and further they try and escape, the more they're running away from their problems, the deeper into the addiction they're going.
How did you get out of it? Was it cocaine mixed with alcohol? Probably ran up a lot of debt.
It was just a chaotic few years, you know. But as I said, like, I just kind of came to a point, Neil, where, like, I said it to you last time, where I just kind of went to prison, and, like, I came out and, like, I had nothing going for me, like, you know, I had nowhere to go, I had no one left in my life, I was just broken, really, nothing was there, you know. And I kind of knew then, like, you know, that it was either dying or trying to live. And I wanted to live, like, I didn't want to die, Neil, you know, so I pulled
prison
the
rock bottom that you referenced there, prison.
Yeah, for sure. But do you know what I've kind of realised today, Neil, like, you know, is I talk about rock bottoms and stuff, but, like, I think genuinely, I don't think there actually is a rock bottom, because, like, if I would have kept, you know, going the way I was going, it would have kept getting lower and lower and lower until you die, like. So I don't think there is a rock bottom. I think death is the final draw, you know what I mean?
Just curious as well, with regards to, say, ending up in jail, right? Because obviously there would have been some sentence. Was that related to criminality for money to pay for the habit, or was it criminality to pay off a drug debt, or what?
No, it was more so, it was just an altercation after a few drinks and a few, you know, after the drugs, like, you know, I was out.
So what does cocaine do to you on a night out then? What did it do?
It just, you know, it would, like, after a few drinks, like, you know, you'd be kind of stumbling and you'd be all over the place, and you take a bit of coke, like, and you're awake again, and you're, you know, you have your senses about you, and it just kind of, like, you know, as I said there, Neil, you know, I kind of used it like that when I was, like, 18, 19, you know, for going out and enjoying it and having fun with the boys and all that. But, like, me, myself, then, like, it turned into, like, all the problems that I had in my own life, I was just running away from them then, you know, and it was just getting deeper and deeper, and I was just taking it more and more to run away. But as I said, like, you're only digging the hole deeper and deeper, because, you know, you're putting yourself deeper into it, you know, while you're trying to run away, like.
Okay, so that altercation resulted in a prison sentence, but did anybody notice you getting worse over a period of time, or try and stop you or talk to you?
Of course, yeah. My family tried to stop me a few times, you know, and I started going to the meetings when I was 18, 19, like, because I was struggling, like, you know. But the only thing is like, I wouldn't accept that I had a problem. I was still hanging around the same lads. I was still down around where I was living, you know. I wasn't willing to change, like, because I might have been too young, too hard-headed, and I don't think I actually went through enough to suffer, enough suffering, like, you know. And I went back out then for the last few years, and as I said, like, people were trying to say it, like, here, like, you're in a bad way here, like, you know, but I wouldn't listen to no one, you know. It just, at the end of the day, I think addiction, it comes down to the person, and I think you have to come to a conclusion yourself. I think everyone in the world can say you have a problem, but it's when you accept it yourself, because everyone can tell you, but it's down to yourself, really.
So you can go to AA or NA and fail, but just keep going and keep trying until you reach a day where you stop failing, yeah?
Just keep going, yeah, every single day, keep going. And, like, don't get me wrong, at the start, it's very hard, you know, when you get sober, because you have all the emotions, you have all the guilt, all the kind of things that come up. But at the end of the day, like in my own experience and what I tell myself and what I told myself at the start is like, I want to live and I want to give myself a chance to live here. Because at the end of the day, in addiction, you're either, you know, in addiction, you're dying. But when you're sober, you're living, like, you know, so it's like this, you're making the distinction. Do you want to live or do you want to die? And I wanted to live. Like,
yeah, I see. Some of the things you're doing on Instagram and more primarily on TikTok, right? They're very inspiring and they're very helpful to people. But there was one chap, because I was talking last week with the Bishop Fintan Gavin. I don't know whether you regard yourself as religious. I think you do regard yourself as being religious.
Would
you say you're a Christian or a Catholic Christian? Which?
I would be Christian. I would follow Jesus Christ more than anything, you know, okay. Because...
Is that all part of your recovery?
It's the backbone of my recovery, to be honest with you, Neil, you know, because recovery is a spiritual foundation. It's a spiritual thing. Like, addiction is a spiritual disease. Like, you know, it's like a complete disease of the mind, complete disease of all your, you know, the spirituality of in your life. It's a void, like, you know, that spiritual void, that mental void. You have a void in your soul that you're trying to fill with drinking drugs. But I feel that with God, like, today.
But you know your man that kind of, you had a bit of a back and forth with him. He was saying, you know, oh, the likes of you are content creators or people like you turn to God because you've messed up so badly. You can't live yourself. He says, how could you do that considering the crimes of the church and the mass graves of our poor children? And, you know, that's the reason why people like you turn to religion, become hyper-religious people, appealing to other people to follow the mantra. You know, because you're messed up. What did you make of that?
Yeah, look, you know, at the end of the day, Neil, like, I had the response to him and I understand it. You know, I understand why people, you know, speak badly about religion and about the Catholic Church, in particular in Ireland, because of the crimes of the Catholic Church. But what I would say to those people and what I did say to that fella on the video was, like, that wasn't God's doing. Like, you know, that was evil men that committed crimes for their own doing and for their own benefit. That was nothing got to do with Jesus Christ. That was nothing got to do with God. You know, that was people that used their power and used their status to commit evil, you know, and to benefit themselves.
But if God is all seeing, or Jesus Christ is all seeing and can intervene, no examples of that, why would an all seeing God allow that to happen?
Yeah, but it's free will. Like, you know, we were given free will. Satan runs the world. Like, you know, it's all temptation, you know, and those men were tempted, you know, by evil. Like, it's as simple as that. Like, God has given us free will. God can't step in and say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to stop this, I'm going to stop that. Every single human being has free will. I have a free will to do whatever I want to do today, if it's evil or if it's good. That is my choice. The choice is, though, like, the temptation of the world, with your lust, with your money, with your greed, all of these things in the world, all worldly, you know, temptations. That's what's tempting me to do evil, but God is tempting me to do good. Mm. But God can't intervene in my choice. He gives me free will to choose whatever I will. You know what I mean?
Mm. Mm. So your God or your Jesus isn't necessarily a Catholic God or Jesus.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, because in the Bible, like, it says, like, you know, that the people are the church, and there was never any mention of a hierarchy of a church or, you know, the way the church is built at the moment. Like, it's, you know, Jesus is the way. Like, I follow Jesus. I don't follow any kind of organization or orders or anything like that.
So
do
you pray every day then?
Yeah, every day. Yeah, yeah.
What would a typical day be? First thing in the morning, last thing at night, or
first thing in the morning, last thing at night? Yeah, and first thing in the morning, I would write out a gratitude list and I'd pray over it. Then, you know, all the things I'm grateful for, you know, a roof over my head, clothes on my back, food in the fridge, these kind of things, air in my lungs. And at the end of the night, then, if I make it to the end of the day, I thank him for getting me through another day sober. I thank him for all the blessings of my life, you know, my family, my health, all these things, and to just keep carrying me forward in his love and light, because, you know, he came and got me from a very dark place and he saved me from the dark. So it's good to speak about him and to get his message out there to people, you know.
Listen, I'm smiling from ear to ear because what you just said is such a beautiful thing. But you're not thanking or praising yourself at all, and you should be as well.
Absolutely. No, I give myself praise as well, of course. But, like, at the end of the day, my own choices and my own, like, if I had it my way, like, you know, I would still be out there, because, like, at the end of the day, like, if it was just down to me, like, people say that to me often on TikTok as well, Neil. They say, you know, you know, it's your doing as well, but, like, if it's just me in control, and if I'm the pilot, I'm crashing the plane, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's an interesting way to put it. I
I need
understand
someone
exactly.
to guide me. I need something above me to guide me, because if it's down to me and if I'm just driving myself, then it's a car crash. And
Okay.
it's been proven, like, you know, throughout my addiction. That's how I got myself into addiction, is because I couldn't control it, you know?
So no, heaven is no is a no brainer for you, is it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Is
But
hell,
I feel like
is hell a place then?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But
Okay.
I feel as well, like, that it's an earthly thing as well. Like, you know, you can be in heaven on earth as well. Like, you know, like, I've been to hell on earth, and I'm sure as hell, like, some days I'm in heaven on earth, you know, because I'm good in my own self, you know, my family are good, I'm healthy, I walk freely, I don't have any burdens anymore, any huge burdens. Like, that to me is heaven on earth, like, in my own life, like.
I know he's listening, and I hope he takes a lot of power from your conversation with me and maybe energizes him in many ways. And you spoke about AA and NA, but you also mentioned what I believe are the Mother Teresa nuns. Is that in, you said in Blarney?
That's right,
okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What do they have, what do they do? They have a rehab there or what?
Yeah, so basically it's a convent, Neil. So there's about 15 lads out there at a time. There's 15 beds, and basically what you do is you wake up in the morning, like, you do your mass. There's the chapel inside there. You know, you have your breakfast. You do your housework. So everyone has their own kind of role around the house. You know, some fellas will, you know, sweep up out the front. Some fellas, you know, there's different roles, etc.
Structure,
And then. Structure, yeah, exactly. And, like, you'll have your lunch, and we'll have meetings during the day, and counsellors will come in, you'll speak to a counsellor, you get assigned your own counsellor one-to-one. And there's always, and a big shout out to United by Miles as well, their running club, Anya and Francis, they run a running club, and basically they go out to the lads every week, and they're running, they're teaching them, you know, how to run, getting them into the running and stuff like that. And that gives them all great discipline. They helped me an awful lot as well when I was there, you know, because
okay.
The running and the training is a huge part of my recovery. Like,
so it's,
you know,
men
so.
Only, as you say, 15 at a time. How long would a chap stay there?
It depends on the situation. It depends really solely on the individual. But, like, I would recommend 3 to 6 months. Like, if you can get to 6 months, happy days. But 3 months minimum, because at the end of the day, like, after, say, a month, you're just opening yourself up. You're just kind of getting into the rhythm of it. You're kind of just coming around. You need another 2 or 3 months at least to kind of, you know, to really grasp it and to really get it, because, like, I think people try and rush it sometimes, Neil, and they try and get back into regular life and get back to work and get back to this. And, like, you need to really take the time out and put the work into yourself, because I try and say to people, all the damage you've done over the years to yourself and drinking drugs, you need to redo that damage in recovery. You need to put that same amount of effort that you put into your addiction into your recovery. You know, you can't just half step recovery and say, I'll do a month there and I'm grand now, I'm recovered. That's it. It doesn't work like that.
It's interesting you put it that way. You know, sometimes people would come out too soon, thinking, oh, I'm fine now. And they might well be for a number of days, but then you have this voice, this monkey on your back, you know what I mean? And it all starts
Absolutely.
All over again. Okay,
Absolutely.
So you're 18 months in recovery. You say the nuns in Blarney saved your life. You'd be dead without them. Wouldn't it be lovely for him to get a place if it were possible?
100%, 100%. And look, Neil, if you want to leave my details with that man, or as I said there, he'd probably know or anything like that, he can feel free to reach out. There's no pressure at all. I'll have a chat with him myself if he
well, that's a good start.
That.
If he can get on to you maybe privately or a DM, you can you forgive me for knowing, can you DM on TikTok?
You can.
So it's JOC1721, right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I'd encourage him to do that privately, give him a bit of direction, but I'm quite sure he's taking a lot of confidence, and maybe it's energizing him having listened to what you've say already this morning, which is good. It's
hopefully,
a step in
anyway.
Right, right?
Hopefully.
Okay, you're the man, Jack. Mind yourself. Look after yourself.
Neil,
cheers,
God
buddy.
Bless. Thank you very
take
much.
Care,
yeah,
take
thanks.
Care. Take care. God bless. That is Jack O'Connell. You can follow him yourself on TikTok, JOC1721. I see even that conversation has inspired others. We'll come back to it after the break. Text 0868 104 106.